to Combat Sports Talk, a podcast dedicated to UFC and Bellator discussion, the MMA community, and combat sports in general. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and joining me this week is the man who knows picking fights, KC Onyebuchi.
What up, bro?
How you doing?
Got a stuffed up nose.
Oh yeah, you know, I think so. The Nostradamus has been accurate some days, but not necessarily on Saturday night. Now, yeah, I just wanted to know: are you still in witness protection from Anthony Smith, or has the threat blown over?
No, I legit have not gone back to the gym yet. No one wants to die like that. I got too much to live for.
All right. Well, the UFC blew into the Windy City for a pay-per-view event featuring two of the biggest draws in the UFC at lightweight, Tony Ferguson, a.k.a. El Kukui, and Donald Cowboy Cerrone. And two titles were on the line. Valentina Shevchenko looked to defend her belt against Jessica Evil Eye, a contender on a 4-fight win streak, and Henry Cejudo, Olympic gold medalist and holder of the 125-pound championship belt, looked to crown himself king of the bantamweight division with a win over elite striker Marlon Moraes. So let's take a look at all the action on The Official Decision.
The Official Decision.
This is The Official Decision. This is where we look at the fights from Saturday night. And we're talking about UFC 238, Cejudo versus Moraes. That's Saturday, June 8th, 2019 at the United Center in Chicago, Illinois. We had five fights on the card, plus one bonus fight that I wanted to pick. So let's go ahead and knock that one out, figuratively this time. Yan Xiaonan defeated Angela Get Overkilled Hill via unanimous decision. I actually called that fight, but you know.
Why so much hatred towards Angela Hill? She's just out there trying to take her losses.
You know, it's sad because it's one of those things where, you know, the mantra of the show is, you know, respect the person in the arena. And so I really should lay off the Angela Hill, but you know, I've got myself on this path now where it's like every time she fights, I'm like, I'm picking against her. She's going to lose, you know. And I had to eat crow last week because she had actually won her last fight. But, you know, it didn't work out so well.
Statistically, you wouldn't be wrong if you picked against her.
Yes.
Yeah, she probably lost.
Yes. It's as about a lock that she is going to lose as it is a Dagestani Russian fighter is going to win.
Oh, wow, that is excellent reference. What is their win streak, like 90%?
Yeah, it's like 90%. I don't think her losing streak is that bad, but still, it's a safe bet to bet against her most fights. Speaking of, it's Bulgarian, but Blagoy Ivanov defeated Tai Tuivasa via unanimous decision. There was a fight where people weren't expecting Ivanov to throw the bombs that he was throwing.
Yeah.
You know who wasn't expecting it?
His opponent.
His opponent, Tai Tuivasa.
Surprise!
Speaking of Russians, Peter Yan defeated Jimmy Rivera via unanimous decision. This is one where George G. Money Stallworth was like, why are you picking against Jimmy Rivera? I was like, because Peter Yan is Russian, rule number one, and it worked out for me. Unanimous decision victory.
Rule number one, always choose the Brazilians.
That's rule number two. No, yeah, that's rule number two. Always choose the Brazilians in Brazil.
No, just in general.
No, in Brazil.
Fair enough.
Even though statistically, I think you and I went back and forth about this maybe a year ago. And statistically, it doesn't play out. The Brazilians are not any better in Brazil than they are anywhere else. But it's still a good rule of thumb, though.
Amend that to always pick the Brazilian if they are a jiu-jitsu specialist fighting against a wrestler.
In Brazil.
Yes. Got to add some amendments to this.
Yeah, get some caveats in there. El Cucuy, Tony Ferguson, defeated Donald Cowboy Cerrone via unanimous decision. Via nose blowing.
Via death, basically.
Via nose evacuation in round two. So we should talk about this, because the first round of the Tony Ferguson and Donald Cerrone fight was really competitive. I mean, these guys were going back and forth. And, I just have to say, this is the type of fight that you really want to see as a casual fan. Two guys standing in front of each other. They're both great strikers. And, you know, they did an amazing job in that first round. But once we got into the second round, Tony Ferguson just kind of took over.
He went to work. He was able to get Donald to stand still on a number of occasions, and Donald just couldn't seem to find his rhythm again.
So at one point in the fight, Tony Ferguson breaks Donald Cerrone's nose. And so what they will tell you is that if you suffer a broken nose during the fight, what you don't want to do is to blow your nose. There is a tremendous amount of pressure that's holding back in your nose, and it's difficult to breathe. You can't breathe out of your nose, so you have to breathe out of your mouth, which throws off your rhythm. It zaps your energy. There's a lot of things that happens when you start breathing out of your mouth. So the desire to want to blow your nose between rounds is very strong. And right before the start of the third round, Donald Cerrone blew his nose.
So all the guys, all the broadcast team was kind of talking through why that was dumb, but I got to believe that in the moment, all you want to do is breathe. And I think it's an error that anyone could easily make.
Yeah. Except for Donald Cerrone is the most, has fought in the most number of fights in the UFC. Then when you start talking about veterans, you look up UFC veteran in the dictionary, Cowboy Cerrone's picture is there. So it's something Fair. That he should know. He should know better than that. And he acknowledged that not in the post fight, but in a later interview, he acknowledged the fact that he should have known better than to blow his nose. But what happened was, when he blew his nose, all of a sudden, all of that pressure just went straight to his eye, and it shut his eye, swole it such that the doctor stopped the fight in between the second and the third round. So it was
so much blood gushing everywhere. It was rough to watch as he was trying to get back into the fight.
Wait, what?
Well, I mean, the start of the round three doesn't happen, but he's arguing to let it happen. And that's when all the blood just is dripping all over his body. So he's trying to make them say, no, I'm good. And that's the doctor stops it. So I think it's fair to say he was trying to get back into the fight.
Well, yeah, I mean, he wanted to keep going. I don't recall a lot of blood, though. But you know,
dude, you don't see it. It's like painted all over his chest.
Okay, I stopped watching it once the fight was over. So I didn't go through all of the other stuff. I don't remember seeing the blood all over his chest. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it wasn't there
for no reason.
But you mean you've piqued my interest now that I got to go back and see it.
Yeah, he's painted at the very end of it. He's just painted with himself.
Okay, that's gross. But Tony Ferguson said that that's not the way that he wanted to win a fight. Like I watched the post fight comments in the ring, because Tony didn't want to talk. Like Joe Rogan went to him as the winner, and he's like, no, let Cowboy talk. And then that's when Cowboy said, I shouldn't have blown my nose. I'm a veteran. I should have known better. I'm sorry, guys. And then I could have sworn he left, but he wasn't bloody. And then
maybe I'm just sensitive to the amount of blood that I saw. Okay. It was like, that's not good.
Yeah. And then Tony Ferguson came back and he's like, hey, you guys can boo if you want. This is not how I wanted to win. You know, if we want to roll it back, we can. I don't think that they should. Tony Ferguson had that fight in hand. There's no reason.
Yeah, I think that's being too humble. Like, you destroyed Cowboy. Like, just take that win, fam.
Yeah. You know, there was a little controversy in this fight, because at the end of the second round, Tony threw a punch after the bell had rung, or after the horn had blown. hit Cowboy Cerrone in the nose. His nose was already broken by this point, so it was just kind of adding insult to injury for anything other than that. But
yeah,
it was a point of contention. People were concerned. Had Tony hit Cowboy in the eye, it would have resulted in a disqualification, which was interesting there. But some people were saying on Twitter that the reason why Cowboy blew his nose is because he didn't want any more of Tony Ferguson.
I mean, maybe, but he sure made a fuss about not being able to continue on.
I'll say this. I respect Donald Cerrone enough. He's been in so many wars that I don't think that this is any different a war than what he's ever been in. I don't think he blew his nose to try to get out of that fight. But I don't think that they need to roll this back. I think Cowboy was going to get beat. I think that round three was going to be just the same thing as round number two. Tony needs the winner out of Khabib and Dustin Poirier, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the fight. In the co-main event of the evening, UFC flyweight champion Valentina Shevchenko defeated Jessica Eye via head kick destruction.
Wait. Which one would you call this knockout? Is this timber or stiff as a plank? What do we have here?
You know, it was we got to go with the stiffy. It was a stiffy because she was knocked out.
Starched her.
Yeah, Jessica I was knocked out for 2 minutes and her body was locked in that position. Like her feet, I mean, she got to have some cramps that you know, but when she woke up. They were just locked. Joe Rogan said her feet were twitching.
It was distressing. That was for sure. She sustained some mental damage with that.
Yeah, there were some cells that didn't make it. Some brain cells did not make it.
But Valentina looked great throughout that whole fight. I think it's something that I'm just becoming more and more aware of. But her footwork and her placement and how she was able to stay on the outside of Jessica Eye.
Yeah,
and move just at will. She was really light on her feet and able to pick her spots well. Man, I loved watching that fight.
Yeah, and I mean the way that she was throwing the body kicks and setting up the head kick, the work on the ground was fantastic. You know, I do have to say that Shevchenko's knockout was so just highlight reel knockout that I'm going to feature her as our episode cover this week. Like that thing was so incredible. Like it was like it was literally like, and the sound was like Jessica I got hit in the head with a baseball bat.
I thought you were about to go in on Jessica. I don't want to get knocked out like that again.
You know,
nope, just me.
Well, I was just gonna say that when I saw the head kick, I heard that sound, and as her body slowly descended to the earth, all I could think of was.
In the arms of the angel, fly away from here.
And it was just like in slow motion. No.
That head kick. Initiated the shutdown sequence. I was just thinking of the windows shutdown sound, like, oh, she's done for.
Well, we could also do this one right here.
I was alerted to the need for medical attention when you said, ow.
Yeah. Tough loss for Jessica, but some of that is just she's going to come back strong. I don't know about stronger, but she was on a good roll. She ran into one of the best to ever do it in the women's division. So I don't think it's all done for her. Her style of fighting this was strange to me. She seemed to throw with a little bit of reckless abandon. Wasn't very crisp and precise in what she was doing. But, man, Valentina's just amazing right now. That's all there is to it.
There's nobody at 125 that can beat her. I want to say that now. Put a 125er up there. No one's going to beat her. Nobody gonna take a dispel from her. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't have that drop right now. I don't have it queued up. The only person to go five rounds with Valentina Shevchenko at 125 was Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and they quickly told her, Joanna, go back to 115.
Like, this is not for you.
This is not for you. So, yeah, I got nothing but great things to say. I love the fact that after she brutally knocked out Jessica Eye, Valentina Shevchenko went, sat in her corner for a little while, then thanked all of Jessica's coaches, and then thanked Dana White. And then on the mic, she was thanking Jessica Eye for taking the that is a true champion. Like, Valentina Shevchenko, respect. That's how you
respect.
Do it.
Respect.
Now, Jessica Eye was funny this today because she's on Twitter. And apparently, you know, her promo talk, you know, that's the risk that you take with promo talk. And being a third degree black belt in promo talk, you know, I know that the risk that you run into is you have to do the talk before the action takes place. And if the action ends up in you getting knocked out for 2 whole minutes, people are going to remind you of the things that you said before you walked into that ring. And she was like taking offense to it. And it's like, you know, respect the person who goes into the ring. That's our mantra, all that. But you promo talked. And when you promo talked against arguably one of the greatest female fighters at 125, and you get knocked out the way you did, you're going to have to eat some crow.
But that's the thing. You have to promo talk. What is she going to do? Like, no, Valentina's probably going to whoop me.
Well, you know, I like to think of when Tonya Evinger had to fight Chris Cyborg, and Tonya Evinger was like, you know, I'm just really glad to be fighting for the title. I'm glad to be in the ring. I'm glad to be breathing. I'm just really happy and blessed right now.
Fair enough.
Like, sometimes you just got to look across the ring and be like, that, no, I'm not going to promo talk her.
You just, the Debo promo talk. You want some of this, old man?
No.
Nope.
Like, that's it. Like, I mean, if I'm going to be fighting John Jones, I'm probably not going to promo talk. That's like that one dude. It keeps coming up on my Facebook timeline. The video of the Bostonian guy, the guy from Massachusetts who fought Mike Tyson. And he tried to promo talk Mike Tyson. And it's like, he's writing poetry and all that kind of stuff. Mike Tyson finished that dude in the first round. Less than 3 minutes.
I like, he's walking out to the biggest fight of his life. And he takes the time to start thanking everybody. And this fight's for my mom. This fight's for the milkman and everyone else. And you still get beat like that? Like, so does that mean you don't love your family? I mean, you can't dedicate a fight to someone and lose like that.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that we need to learn here is that there is a time and a place for promo talk. You just got to make sure that if you're going to promo talk somebody, that they aren't one of the greatest of all time.
There's that. So you should never promo talk me.
And speaking of, I can't even do it. I can't. But I'm going to have to do it. In the main event of the evening, Henry Cejudo defeated Marlon Moraes via TKO in round 3. What can I say? You know, somebody was on Twitter and they were like, where's all the haters now? Henry Cejudo won. I'm like, no, the haters still here. Like, I voted for Henry Cejudo to lose. I vote for him to lose in every fight. And I was like, but Marlon Moraes, he gassed out and he got finished. Such is life.
But I will say, these two did make a smaller weight division interesting, because they stood in there and they banged. Like, at a certain point, they just went for it, and you got to appreciate that.
Yeah, I absolutely do. That first round was magical.
And that's it. You're like, and nothing more.
I mean, I know the fight ended in the third round, but I really only want to talk about
when Cejudo was getting beat.
Yeah, that's all I want to really talk about. That's right. It's my show.
Fair enough.
We're talking about Marlon Moraes and those leg kicks. We're going to talk about his dominant performance in the first round. He's a first round champion.
If I'm honest, there's something about Cejudo that just reminds me of one of the greatest heavyweights of all time.
Who's that?
I think you know who the greatest heavyweight of all time is.
Muhammad Ali? No, I mean, it's
so much.
Like, I can't what does Henry Cejudo have to do with Muhammad Ali?
I can't even troll you anymore. I'm done.
Oh man. No, you know, Henry Cejudo, dude's got he's got dynamite in his hands. And if you let him start teeing off on you, which he did in the second round, you're not going to last long. And even though Marlon Moraes was the bigger guy, even though you could argue that he was the better mixed martial artist in that ring, Henry Cejudo, his wrestling pedigree and his evolved striking is just a combination that few people can sustain and withstand. And so, you know, shout out to Henry Cejudo. You won the fight. I'm not happy about it, but you did it, and I'm going to give you the respect you deserve.
I feel like Henry Cejudo didn't just beat Marlon. He beat you. You sound defeated.
I feel it personally. like, yes, when he wins, I feel it personally.
Oh, I mean, yeah. We'll get into it later, but it is becoming increasingly harder to enjoy Henry King of Cringe, not Kings, yeah. Cejudo.
Well, he is the messenger. All right, let's close the book on this one. Let's put it on the shelf because this card is history. Now let's move on to Finding the Angles, where we talk about the headlines that are making waves in the wake of UFC 238. This is Finding the Angles. This is our news segment where we're talking about the topics that people really care about in the MMA world. First thing we're going to talk about, because everybody's talking about it, is Henry Cejudo's behavior. I mean, this guy came into the UFC as a former gold medalist Olympic champion and was on a path to be a star, and everybody was following him. He had an early loss to Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, came back and fought a 5-round fight in which he was given the title to hold in the absence of Demetrius Johnson. He's since to use a professional wrestling term, he's since turned heel. Like, this is a guy that was extremely popular, very respectful, and all those things that you want to see in a champion. He was like Valentina Shevchenko. And then all of a sudden, he just decided that he is going to start wearing costumes to weigh-ins. He was going to start, you know, talking with this persona like he's all that in a bag of chips and giving himself these honorifics that are just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous on one level, but on a whole other level, the man has figured out the game. So you had one of the greatest, arguably the greatest, pound-for-pound champion to ever do it, Demetrius Johnson. And he was the respectful guy that we all loved, but no one would pay to watch. Somehow, Cejudo has taken that same, oh, well, no one wants to fight, watch little guys fight, added a persona to it, and is getting paid for it.
Well, he's demanding payment. So one of the things right now is he's trying to do is he's threatening Dana White that he is going to leave the UFC if he doesn't get the payment that he feels he deserves. And, you know, the fact is that because of the way that he is behaving, I don't want him to get that. I mean, sure, he deserves it. But I don't want him to get it because the way he's going about it. This is one of those things where, you know, the only other person that I can relate Henry Cejudo's behavior to is Colby Covington. And it's a short-term game. You know, I love the long-term. I like the long game. But this is a short-term game because, yeah, you get a lot of eyeballs and you raise a lot of ire and everybody wants to talk about how they hate you. But at the end of the day, you either have to fight and win to continue that persona, or you're going to lose. And then you know, kind of like on Ghost, whenever the bad guy died and all the shadows rose up and devoured him. That's what happens. Jessica, I felt just a bit of it. Henry Cejudo has put himself on at this level now where, because he's got all of this gold around him, he's got these two belts that he's carrying around with him and this gold medal on a gold chain, which is the ghettoest thing I've ever seen.
It made no sense.
It makes no sense. And so at this point, you've got this intelligent human being. Like, the dude is not an idiot like someone else we know. Henry Cejudo is well-spoken, he's charismatic, and he's using all of these gifts that he has on the mic to make people hate him. And if you want to call it the game, I recognize, you know, game recognizes game, but at the same time, it's like, if everybody's a heel, you have no heroes.
Yeah, but who wants to be the one to say, yeah, I'll let my money suffer so that somebody else can look better? I mean, at this point, for all of my morals and the things that I care about, if UFC offers me a contract, I'm going to heel immediately, day one. Kidding me? Let me get paid.
Yeah, I'm starting to get exhausted with this persona, with this heel persona. It's not that
across
I don't like
the board, or specifically with Henry Cejudo.
I'm. It's kind of both. I'm tired of everybody going to the "I'm the greatest." Look at me carrying this belt around. I mean, he's got his coach with the little pink glasses or the white glasses, carrying his belt. And when he's on interview with Ariel Helwani, dude's got the belt on his shoulder while Henry Cejudo's talking with no shirt on. It's like, it's just immature. It's dumb. It's ignorant. I don't like it, you know, and I just wish Henry Cejudo, being who he could be so much more. He could have a lasting impression on children and all these other things, and no one, I wouldn't want my kids looking at him and wanting to emulate that. I just, and the dude is an Olympic gold medalist, like in wrestling, like the dedication and the work ethic that you have to achieve that, tremendous. And he's throwing all of that goodness away so he can play this part of this Triple C champ that needs to get paid with "show me my money" kind of thing. And it's just
there is true animus in this statement, and I'm kind of loving it.
100%
all about, like, hey, showmanship and promo talk. You got people, everyone's all in on your strategy, and this is what you get.
No, this is poor execution of my strategy. Like, yeah, I mean, it's
slowly,
like,
coming over to the dark side. Just admit
no. This is to be honest, this is like, since we're using Star Wars references, I know that you are an expert in Star Wars, but
indeed,
it's a this trap. Is like when Darth Vader tells Luke to feed into your emotions and turn to the dark side, and the emotion that Luke Skywalker feeds into is like deep despair and crying. And he just falls down, drops the lightsaber, and starts sobbing. And you're like, no, that's not what I meant. That's not the emotion I was talking about. And Luke is like, you said emotion, I'm crying. And it's like, no, this is not what I meant. I mean, I talked about how promo talk can enhance the desire for someone to want to see the fight. Yes, it's a great tool. But if you misuse it, it's just asinine. Right.
Every time I hear the word asinine, I think of King of the Hill. But I get you.
I'm just like that. So that is why. So if Henry Cejudo hears this message, the only reason why I hate you is, I don't really hate you. The only reason why
I was like, that's strong.
Yeah. The only reason why I'm throwing so much hate at you, There you go. I'm putting so much shade out there. I'm salty of the 31 flavors. Anyway, that's yours.
It is, but your execution. This is like when Darth
Yes,
Vader...
you see? You see? This is... I'm proving my point here. I'm proving the point. It's about execution.
Well played, sir. Well played.
So that is why I wish Henry Cejudo would just put a shirt on, put the gold medal back in the box. I mean, we all know it's fake because your other one burned down in the forest fires from 2 years ago.
You can't say that. Bro, that's just hate.
We know that one of those belts is Demetrius Johnson's. And so I only see you as the 135-pound champion, and that is only because they threw that together because the belt was vacated. And so at some point the chickens are going to come home to roost. That's all I got to say about Henry Cejudo.
Well, you know what? He might listen to you because it sounds like other fighters are listening to you. Like Jimmy Manoa.
So last week I went in on Jimmy Manoa and I went back and listened to the show, and I was kind of embarrassed with myself because I was not kind to the poster boy. I said that Jimmy Manoa last week should retire, and that show dropped on Tuesday, and Jimmy Manoa retired on Tuesday, and he was like, listen,
he's like,
Ryan,
screw this. I've disappointed Ryan. I can't bruv. Keep going.
Bruv, I cannot do this anymore, so I'm quitting. I'm done with this sport.
That's a great accent.
Thank you. So Jimmy Manoa retired. Let's talk a little bit about Jimmy Manoa, though. I mean, because when you talk about somebody who's got knockout power and who's just highlight reel after highlight reel of knockouts, that's what Jimmy Manoa's career was early in his career. You could guarantee that if you were getting in the ring, he was going to hunt you down and take your head off. And as his career got to the end, it was just one of those things where, you know, to each their own, and he had his come up, and he started taking a little bit of that medicine that he's been dishing out all those years.
I mean, part of it is he just got old. Wasn't he almost like 40?
Yeah, he was like 39. 40?
Yeah, I mean, but it's hard to say that he didn't have anything left to give. It was just very clear that he's not going to be champ anytime ever.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it also goes back to when you get knocked out that way, that many times in a row, you end up, people start questioning whether or not it's healthy for you to continue. And so, yeah, I'm sure that as a fighter, he's got a fighting spirit, and the desire is there to keep going because he believes in himself that he can make another run at that title. But he got super close. He was one fight away, and then he met Volkan Ozdemir, and the rest is kind of history.
Well, we'll miss you. R.I.P. Well, R.I.P.
Wow, you are dude is just retiring. You're retiring in peace. There we go.
Man. Oh man, that's sad. My bad, Jimmy. You're still alive. Your career's dead, but you're still alive.
Oh man. Another retiree that we should call out is King Mo. Now, I thought King Mo had retired a long time ago, but you know, apparently on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, I saw MMA Fighting announce his retirement. So, hats off to King Mo. I mean, he's another one of those guys that just, you know, in that transitional period between the old days of MMA where you were just the best brawler won, and where we are now, where you've got to be a complete fighter to really have a long career in the sport. King Mo was really one of those transitional guys that got us into where wrestling began to be dominant, and you could use wrestling to set up knockout power. But just like Jimmy Manoa, King Mo also started running into a lot of these just debilitating knockouts where it's just boom. I shouldn't say it.
Boom, rocked him.
That's right. So it's those kind of things where both King Mo and Jimmy Manoa at the end of their careers were getting just get knocked out, and quickly too. I mean, I think the last fight that King Mo had was against Ryan Bader in the heavyweight Grand Prix, and Ryan Bader dispatched him with the quickness.
Yeah, it was looking great for him. There wasn't a lot of upside left in him.
Yeah. So I believe that King Mo is a Dallas native, right? He's from around these parts, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to, you know, to one of our I can't call him countryman, but I mean, he is
kinsman.
But that's a bit more expansive than what I want to go, you know.
Yeah.
Fellow Texan, fellow Dallasite, King Mo, hats off to you.
Good luck in all of your future endeavors.
Retire in peace. That's the thing. We it's a thing now. So thank you,
I like
KC.
That. That
you have
officially part of the show. Retiring.
You've given us a new acronym.
Oh, so we got to have the song "End of the Road." I was about to sing it and realized, nope, not today.
Yeah,
not today, Satan.
Yeah, I noticed how you were going alto on that. I'm like, man, you went up an octave beyond I thought you could hit.
Like, hold on, let me just get this pitch pipe out real quick. That was an immediate bailout. Like, nope.
Hey, Khabib and Nurmagomedov and Dustin Poirier have gotten their fight signed. So the Eagle is returning on September 7th in Abu Dhabi. So we're going to see this fight. I'm excited about it.
I'm excited for Dustin. This is, man, he's worked so hard for
long time
his opportunity.
Coming.
He's going to get worked. But I'm really excited for him.
You know, the thing is everyone's asking me, like, hey, Ryan, what do you think about this Nurmagomedov-Poirier fight? And I'm like, well, it's, you know, they say styles make fights, and you've got a guy who's just a relentless wrestler versus a very powerful striker. And, you know, the thing that I question is whether or not Dustin Poirier is going to be able to execute his takedown defense long enough for him to get some good shots at Khabib Nurmagomedov. Like, I haven't really seen anybody land some solid punches on Khabib. And so I don't really know how good a chin he really has. Dustin Poirier being a bigger kind of 155er, I mean, he's on the bigger side. I think he could easily go up to 170. This is one of those times where I think that he's got a shot. You know, when I think of like Conor McGregor and his style of fighting, I don't think Conor's style is compatible with what Khabib does. But I think because of Dustin Poirier's size and strength, I think he's got a little bit more chance to land that punch that's going to change the game in the ring. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I'm not going to make a pick, but but just so know I am a strict adherence to the rules of combat sports talk.
I think you brought something in there that will make me sway to more Poirier side is the style matchup. And as relentless as Khabib can be, there is that people starting to figure out, as long as you don't freak out and run for try to wall walk your way back up and just let him do what he's doing, you can find your way back to your feet. Like, it can be done. So, I mean, with so much time in between and Dustin being as good as he is, I think they could come up with a game plan that will be trouble for Khabib.
Yeah, and the thing is this, is that as long as you don't take too much damage and exert too much energy when he does take you down, they always stand the fight back up at the end of the round. And so, he may beat you if he's able to get you down five times and hold you down five times, but you always get five opportunities to knock him out. You have to take advantage of those.
Yep. And never overcommit, because his takedowns are amazing.
Yeah. And he just rides you. I mean, it's just crazy how he just keeps you falling and on the ground. It's Khabib is great. That's why after this fight, if he is to win, we got to see him and Tony Ferguson. All right.
Well, we'll see.
So one of the things that has to happen, so we were talking last week about Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz Jr. There is a rematch clause in the event that Anthony Joshua loses the fight, and he did. There's a rematch clause, and he has to execute that rematch clause within 30 days of the result of the fight. And so we are happy to announce that Anthony Joshua has chosen to activate that clause, and the rematch has been confirmed. Now we just have to figure out when, where, and for how much.
Yeah. Very excited to see a different version of Anthony Joshua step back in against Ruiz, hoping that it does not happen in the U.S.
I don't think it will. I think he's going to go back to the U.K. And we'll see what happens there.
I don't know why, but I just feel like he fares a better chance at home.
I don't know, but I mean, dude can't be a world champion if he can only fight in the UK.
Yeah, but the World Series happens in the America. I mean,
happens in the America.
You know what? Words are hard. Just
well, the World Series happened in the America.
Now I tell you what.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, and NBA world champions are also world champions, and both in Major League Baseball and National Basketball League or Association, are international sports.
Well, there you have it. So, Anthony Joshua is king of the world.
Not anymore. He's not. I have, from time to time, talked a lot of trash about a lot of fighters. I talk trash about Jimmy Manuel.
On my behalf.
I talk trash to Anthony Smith on your behalf. I talk trash to Angela Hill. I talk trash to Chet Congo. I've talked trash to Henry Cejudo. All of these fighters I talk trash to with the understanding that they will never, ever, ever, ever roll up on me and ask me about me talking smack about them. Like, that is the safety that I have. That is the anonymity of the internet. That is the protection that me being here in Dallas and having a name like Ryan Smith affords me. Because if you try to find Ryan Smith in Dallas, you're going to find like 500 of us. Good luck.
Good luck.
But Zab Judah, who's a former super no, his nickname is Super. He's a former light welterweight and light middleweight fighter champion. Rolled up on an internet troll and they captured it. So there's these two guys that I guess listen to or you know, mine Twitter for people talking smack about fighters, and they found out where he was and they got Zab Judah, this boxer, professional boxer, to show up at this guy's place of employment.
Oof, I love where this is headed.
And so these two guys are like, hey, didn't you say something about Zab Judah and how he sucked? And didn't you say that you could take Zab Judah in a fight? And the guy's like, yeah, I said it. They're like, wait right here. And then Zab Judah walks in and the guy's face just turns white. And Zab's like, yeah, I heard what you said. So I need you to step outside for 5 minutes. And the guy's like, no.
I feel like at that point, you got nothing to lose. You got to take your loss.
Yeah, you got to take the L, man. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to do it. Hopefully, it'll be videoed, and I'll go down telling my kids that, hey, I actually did fight Chet Congo, and he's way more intense in person.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that is just awesome. I wish more of that would happen to internet trolls. Like, surprise.
Surprise, I'm here. Saying. So, yeah. Now, that is not an invitation to any of the fighters who I've smack talked throughout the 98 episodes of Combat Sports Talk. That is not an invitation for you to roll up on me, especially not at my job, because John Keyes would love that just a little bit too much.
Shoot, now I kind of want. Well, you've already fought me, so
yeah, and won twice, by the way. So false. That one is not. I'm not so concerned about that one.
Oh, okay. Just so you know, I'm going to be in your area on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So,
okay. Yeah. Come find me.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Yeah. You're going to be going all over Dallas trying to find me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where your office moved to, but.
Yeah, but sure, I mean, you can stake my house out. I don't know if I'm going to be there. I got three kids, and it's the summertime. There's so many birthdays happening on weekends. Good luck trying to catch up with me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, yeah, I thought it was interesting. I think it's great. You know, for me, in as much as I do talk a lot of harsh smack about the fighters that I love to watch, the fact is, at the end of the day, tremendous respect. I have tremendous respect for anyone who steps in the octagon. I have tremendous respect for anyone.
With the exception of Henry Cejudo.
I
feel like you could take him.
Well, I mean, the dude is a bantamweight, and I weigh 300 pounds. Like, I mean, I think that he tries to double leg takedown, I just have to fall on him.
So what I hear you saying is, Henry Cejudo, roll up.
Man, you know, it's like
you still have a pause there. Come on now.
I mean, what is he? 5'6"? I'm 6'3". Like,
you just tell him roll up then.
I feel like I could just put my hand on his head and he would just swing all he wants and he'd just get tired just swinging. Like, I mean, that's a big head that he's got. Like, I could just.
I am 100% sending this episode to Henry Cejudo.
I could be safe, man. Like. Like, all I got to do is land, what's it called, the claw in professional wrestling?
They used to do
the claw.
I remember that.
I just have to land the claw. I have to execute the claw. Just get right on the skull, right there, and he can swing all he wants, and it's just not going to go anywhere. I just got to lock my arm, and he's just done.
Down and put you in the Boston Crab, just okay. Because that would be hilarious.
All right, listen. if Henry Cejudo is able to get me down and put me in the Boston Crab, I will donate a month's worth of my Pluckers trivia salary to a charity of his choice. There you go. It's 400 clams.
I'm sending this to Henry and Pluckers.
Huh?
I'm sending this episode to Henry and Pluckers.
Oh, man.
Hey, see if they'll match that donation that you're about to give up.
Hey, listen, listen. All I got to say is this. You send this episode to those guys, and I will come up with something that you will never be able to set foot in Factory X ever again. You're just going to have to vacate Denver. I'm going to have everybody. Chris Camozzi, all of them going to be coming after you.
Fair enough. All right. I'll let that go.
All right.
Speaking of crazy trolling going on the internet.
Justin Bieber. I got to know what's going through his head to say that I'm going to call out Tom Cruise for an MMA fight and then try to get Dana White to sanction this thing.
I mean, Dana's done crazier things. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It is not. But then Conor McGregor comes in and he's like, well, if Tom Cruise is man enough, I will promote it. And oh, by the way, I'll fight Mark Wahlberg. Like, what did Mark Wahlberg ever do to you? Like, is it the Battle of Boston? Is that what it is?
UFC, that's why.
Like, oh my gosh. First of all, Justin Bieber is trying to fight Tom Cruise, who's 56 years old. What he doesn't realize is that Tom Cruise is a former All-State wrestling champion. I don't think he's one state, but he was All-State qualifier. Tom Cruise does his own stunts. So it's not like he's sitting on the couch. I mean, he jumps on the couch, but he doesn't sit on the couch.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a good matchup for Bieber.
I think Bieber gets, he's going to end up getting smashed, dude. I would have Tom Cruise against most. I'd have Tom Cruise against Henry Cejudo.
Now you're crazy.
Now I'm just talking crazy. I'm just like, being funny
for the sake of hate.
I'm just now, yeah. It's just hate. I'm just making. Over. I'm making jokes here. No, Tom Cruise though against Justin Bieber. I got Tom Cruise all day.
All day.
I mean, he's got the center tooth working.
Not anymore. He's got that fixed, right?
Did he fix it? There's no way you fix that. You can't fix that.
With money fixes everything.
Photoshop.
I don't know, but I'm surprised that Connor is still holding on to his beef with Mark Wahlberg, though.
Where did that come from? Do you know the history behind that?
So I think it was something like Mark Wahlberg has like some early shares or stake in the UFC, and Connor's trying to grow his presence within UFC. Like he wants to be part of the owners group, and he was trying to buy someone's shares or something, and that's where the bad blood came in with him and Wahlberg, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this definitively. I'm asking more as a question.
I honestly don't know. I thought it was pretty random, kind of like, you know, whenever you're getting into a fight with somebody that you know you can't beat, so you punch somebody random.
Oh, yeah. No. It is definitely related to the shares because it's him and Conan. Connor and Conan have a little bit of beef too because Connor's been trying to get anyone to sell him shares because he wants to be a bigger stakeholder in the UFC.
Well, I don't think going after Mark Wahlberg is anything because, I mean, in as much as Mark Wahlberg is you know, in shape and he's exercised, he doesn't strike me as a fighter, and he's not an elite fighter like Conor McGregor is. So, like, why would you even do that? That's just a dumb thing. Like, you know, if you've got Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise, it's just kind of remotely interesting just because it's so random that I would actually like to see that, but I don't want to see an MMA fighter fight an actor.
Unless that actor is... Yeah, I can't think of an actor who would actually make a good matchup.
Who's that guy that played Spawn?
I never saw that. I'm not a comic book guy.
Oh, no, he's like famous martial artist.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No. Michael J. White.
Yeah.
He's like a legit mix. Legit martial artist.
I think he would fight. Yeah, he could hold his own.
Yeah. So
And I really want to check out his movie Blood and Bone because everything he does is just martial arts greatness.
Yeah. All right, last story before we go on. Chael Sonnen was talking to Ariel Helwani. I think it was today. About an offer that he got from WWE, which goes to show that WWE does not have the best interest of UFC at heart. For those of you who are all about the crossover BS, the UFC and the WWE should never meet. And WWE is only trying to disrupt and harm the UFC. Do not support WWE if you are a big UFC fan, because it's oil and water here. And so Chael Sonnen was talking about the fact that he received a $1 million offer from WWE if he didn't show up for the Anderson Silva rematch fight that he worked so hard to troll Anderson Silva into taking. And then they offered him $5 million that if he beat Anderson Silva to show up the following Monday on the TV show WWE Raw. And so it's just goes to show how, you know, when you start looking at people like Brock Lesnar and how Brock Lesnar has kind of played the UFC versus the WWE card, and you know, Ronda Rousey going from UFC to WWE. The WWE, all they're doing is poaching the biggest names in the UFC, and you know, they don't care about the sport that we love so much.
So, I mean, I want to agree with that, but the second part of this offer with Chael Sonnen makes me think that maybe this was just not liking Silva.
What animus would WWE have to Anderson Silva? This is all about disrupting, because if he showed up, let's say, because remember, this was for the title. Mm-hmm. If he didn't show up for the Anderson Silva fight, then what happened is you would destroy an entire card because that was the main event of the evening. And yep. So him not showing up ruins all the money that
UFC
has invested in this fight. If he were to appear on Raw the following Monday after beating Anderson Silva, that would mean that Chael Sonnen would be the UFC champ appearing at Raw right after winning the title and defeating who at the time was considered the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world and arguably, you know, the GOAT at the time, the greatest of all time.
So I guess in that case, it delegitimizes the intensity of UFC.
Yeah, and so maybe what that shows is the UFC, at least at the time, was growing at a pace that was beginning to draw the attention of a lot of those marks who enjoy the WWE and professional wrestling, that people were starting to migrate over to the UFC, and they were taking countermeasures to perhaps slow the growth of and the popularity of the UFC amongst their fans. I think that's the strategy that they were looking to employ, and hats off to Chael Sonnen for not taking the bait. Not that he could have taken the second.
Or did he, and he just lost, and we never found out $5 million thing until after Chael lost. Like, oh.
Well.
I think he would have done it at that stage in his career.
Well, you know, the thing is that if you go back and look at the backstory of Chael Sonnen always wanted to be a champion. And so he had made a promise to, I think it was his father, that he would bring home the belt and become a champion. And then his father died. And so it was one of those things where it was like he's chasing this dream and he was so close. I mean, remember, he was like 15 seconds away from beating Anderson Silva the first time. And so the triangle choke that he put on, that Anderson Silva put on Chael Sonnen, was out of the blue and saved Anderson Silva from losing a title that he had defended for like 7 years. This put Chael Sonnen back on to square one because he had to work his way back to justifying a rematch against Anderson Silva, who wasn't really wanting to take that fight again because that whole fight was fought from his back. Chael got that opportunity. And this is one of those things where you have to start thinking about, if you have worked your whole life for this moment, would you sell out for $1 million? Or would you sell out for $5 million? Or is it more important to get that belt?
The $5 million, all you had to do was win, which is what you wanted anyway.
Yeah, but you had to win, and then you basically had to stab your promotion in the back. I mean, this was basically what they were doing, right?
Yeah.
And
fair enough.
And so it was, hats off to Chael Sonnen. You know, he is the original trash talker, in my opinion, for the UFC. Not the original trash talker of trash talkers, but definitely for the UFC, he's the one who did the promo talk right. And I just wish that other people could see the nuance in what he did versus what other people are doing.
Fair enough.
All right, let's move on to the last segment of the show. This is the fight card. The fight card. This is the fight card. This is where we look forward to the weekend and see the fights that are coming up. And what's coming up is Bellator 222. McDonald versus Gracie, Friday, June 14th, 2019, at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Now, this is the next round of the Welterweight Grand Prix. Once again, the welterweight title is on the line as Rory McDonald faces off against Neiman Gracie. The winner goes on to the next round of the Welterweight Grand Prix. Now, we've got six fights on the card. At 135 pounds, it's bantamweight. Ricky Bandejas is fighting Patrick Mix. Eduardo Dantas, this guy, great fighters, fighting Juan Archuleta. Dylan Danis from the Conor McGregor camp and the UFC 229 brawl in Vegas is fighting his second fight of his professional career against Max Humphrey. We kind of have an idea how that's going to go. Darian Caldwell is fighting Kyoji Horiguchi. And then in the co-main event of the evening, Lyoto, the Dragon Machida, faces off against Bad Guy Inc., the American gangster, Chael Sonnen. We'll make a flash fight pick in just a moment. Rory McDonald is the main event versus Neiman Gracie for that belt and the moving on in the welterweight Grand Prix. So, KC, let's see. Are you feeling well? Is the Nostradamus ready for his flash fight picks?
I mean, I'm going to give it my best shot.
All right. Lyoto Machida versus Chael Sonnen. Who you got?
Oh, this is wicked hard. I've got to go Chael Sonnen here.
You know, it's always one of those things where Lyoto Machida is that guy that he's so elusive that he's hard to hit. And what happens is he loses fights because he just doesn't have enough offense. But yep. I think Chael Sonnen is slowing down. I don't think Chael is the same Chael that we used to enjoy. I'd love for him to be that guy. But I'm going to go with the dragon, Lyoto Machida. Hopefully he drinks a large glass of his own urine before that fight.
That's weird, but it's worked for him.
Look it up, folks. It's a real thing. Rory McDonald in the main event versus Neiman Gracie. Who you got?
Oh, so Rory McDonald, though he's got some stuff to work through spiritually, I think he's still a champion, like through and through. And he may not grievously injure Mr. Gracie, but he's going to do enough to get the job done.
I honestly, after the last fight, I just don't, you know, the Rory McDonald versus John Fitch, I don't think Rory's in it. And I think Neiman Gracie, he's one of the better Gracies when it comes to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think Neiman Gracie gets this thing done and he walks away with the title and moving on to the next round of the welterweight Grand Prix. So you and I are on opposite sides for both of the fights. That means you'll be eating crow next week.
Whew. Oh, well, I think you should eat an actual crow one of these days.
Wow. See, but folks, that's how you promo talk. Not what Henry Cejudo's doing. Follow us on social media.
Fair enough.
On Twitter, I'm at CST Ryan, and on Instagram, I am at Combat Sports Talk. What's your Instagram?
It is at Push Pull Pray.
Have you put anything out there recently? I haven't seen anything from you.
I haven't been to the UFC gym in a while for some reason. I don't know why that is.
All right.
And I am in the process of moving and focused a lot on my music right now. So what's the
Instagram where you put the music?
That is at Obfuscated.
How do you spell that?
With letters and numbers.
Yeah, but you got numbers in the middle of the letters.
I do. That's why it's obfuscated.
Okay, I got it. Like, ooh, it's meta.
World peace.
All right. And then the hikes that you take, you have one for that as well?
I do. I do indeed.
And what's that called?
Unfettered Joy.
There it is, Unfettered Joy. And you have one that you talk about really interesting topics too, right?
Oh, that would be Purposeful Dinners.
Wow. Four Instagrams, folks. That's how KC rules.
Public ones.
Yeah, and then he's got the ones that have been neglected for years. You can find us on all your major platforms. I just found out that I wasn't on Combat Sports Talk wasn't on Google Music Play. We were on Google Podcasts, but there's also Google Music where they have podcasts as well. So we just got added to that. So for those of you out there who are on Android devices, you should be able to find Combat Sports Talk to catch the previous 97 episodes. Definitely visit our website, www.combatsportstalk.com. You can get our merchandise that we have there. And unfortunately, I was unable to meet George G Money Stallworth for UFC 238. So we do not have, this is month number 4 in a row, but we don't have a live event reaction show. So I apologize to you guys. I apologize to George Stallworth because I stood him up. I thought I was going to be able to be there and I had to cancel at the last minute. So my apologies. We will look forward to July 6th, John Bones Jones, International Fight Week versus Thiago Santos. We will make that happen.
Nice.
All right. Our theme music is composed by Scott McCurry at scottdeancountry.com, and Casey Onyebuchi produced our lead-ins. I want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Combat Sports Talk. For Casey Onyebuchi, I'm Ryan Smith, reminding you to keep your hands up, your chin tucked, and throw bombs.